Good morning.
Good morning.
Beginning the life celebration for someone who's very dear to
all of us, dearer to some more than others, obviously. I'm honored to be here. We'll begin our service with Ben Johnson. He'll say a few words that are very important. He'll lead us in prayer, and then we'll have a special time of music with Al and Debbie Ray. Ben, where is Ben? Oh, here he comes. Tall, dark, and handsome Ben Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. Bless you, brother.
Thank you. Because I know Jan loved the Lord.
Amen.
And I've been enough around Pastor Jerry that I know the whole family has been brought up as a pastor's family. And so we acknowledge them today, and we are here to support them and grieve for them. Grieving's okay, we know that. So we know where Jan is. We know that someday we will be there if we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The most important thing is Christ died for each one of us.
Amen.
And we want to make sure that we have received Him and belong to Him. You know, Jesus said in one of His encounters in John chapter 11, He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Do you believe this?" He asked Martha. So each one of us has the opportunity to make sure that we're in Christ this morning. But together we will celebrate. Plenty of singing. I have already been moved, and I appreciate the music so much. But to be able to celebrate and sing and glorify the Lord with our voices. And I know that Jan today is in a better place.
Yes, Lord.
And she has a body that can operate much better than it did here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
But it's, again, we celebrate that and we are rejoicing in that, but we also are sad because we've lost a loved one. The mother, the husband, the wife, the grandmother, the sister, and what a lady she was. As I talked to a little bit of the family yesterday, I found out a few more things about Jan, and one of those was that she was a basketball fan. She and Jerry got into the basketball a little bit and liked IU. And now I understand they have somebody in the family that's a Purdue person. So we have a little bit of competition, maybe. Good competition. But I also found out that she got into football a little bit. I was going to say the Baltimore Colts. That shows you how old I am. The Indianapolis Colts. Pretty fun person, let me tell you. I know I came in and sat with Jerry in the office and saw the basketball sitting on his shelf and wondering why, and I guess we got some basketball players down here. We got some runners, which I can't believe. But so we've got to carry those people on, you know, after today and after this is over. But we know Jan is cared for, and she is in good hands today.
Amen.
And we praise the Lord for that. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we come before You this morning to rejoice and to celebrate in Jan's life, because she is a follower of You. She has trusted in Christ as her Savior. Lord God, I know that You have taken her and changed her as You teach us in Your Scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Lord, absent from the body is to be present with You. And she has a body that works, and we praise You and glorify Your name because she was in Christ. We thank You for these family members, and we pray for each one of them, Lord. We pray for us that are grieving now, which is part of death, as ugly as it is. yet Christ, we know, that has overcome death, and we celebrate that. Lord, I pray for this family members that you would help us to be encouraging and comforting, and I know you're the God of all comfort, and I know that you will comfort them. You will carry them through this tough time, that even they will draw together as a family and grow. And I pray for each member that you would bless. Lord, I pray for us as we celebrate. I pray for hearts that are here, maybe one or two or more, that have never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, may this be the day, as they sing and listen to the words that are shared. And Lord God, we honor you. We rejoice today. We celebrate the homecoming of Jan, that she is with you for eternity, as we will be, we in Christ. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Jan loved music, and we're going to sing one of her favorite songs in just a moment. But, you know, Jesus Christ did come into the world to die for sinners. We're all sinners. Mm. The Word of God tells us, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And he came to die for sinners, and Jan recognized that. I don't remember how many years ago it was. I know it was many years ago that she had actually placed her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we encourage you, if you haven't done that today, we'd love to see you do that. And some people say, well, how in the world can you go on after something like this? Well, because Jesus came into this world. He died, he was buried, but he rose again. And today he lives. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. So if you're able, would you stand with me? We're going to sing together 213 in the hymnal if you need it. 213, Because He Lives. God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is made through, a Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Verse number 3. And then one day, I'll cross the river, I'll find my father, no real pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Thank you. You may be seated. And that's how we can keep going forward.
Because we know he lives. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing a song that I know was special to Jan. I think probably just about every time we were down here, she had asked us to sing it. But I think it's very appropriate at this time. It's, you know, when times like this, we always have someone that is praying for us. And I always think about Jesus when he told Peter, he said, you know, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. And so we always have the Lord praying for us too.
When it seems that you prayed till your strength is all gone, and your tears fall like raindrops all the day long, Jesus cares and he knows just how much you can bear. He'll speak your name to someone in prayer. Someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. And when it seems you're all alone and your heart would break in two, remember someone is praying for you. The clouds round you gathered in the midst of a storm. Is your ship tossed and battered? Are you weary and worn? Don't lose hope, someone's praying for you this very day. And peace be still, is already on the way. Someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. And when it seems you're all alone and your heart would break in two, remember someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you.
Amen. Amen.
Debbie has a special number for you.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven have passed away. It's not a dream, God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. Tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I am. We shall live in the light of God. tears never crying again. Praises to the great I Am. We shall live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, there's a mansion prepared for me. I shall live with my Savior eternally. No more pain, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praises to the great I Am. We shall live in the light of the risen Lamb. We shall live in the light of the risen Lamb. Hallelujah to the risen
You two have 239 ready to sing when I'm near the end. It's Jesus Is Coming Again. They do a great job, don't they? I've known them since they were children. Al was 18 when I met him. He's not 18 anymore, but anyhow, we love Jan and we love Jerry. I tell folks that Jerry and Jan were my friends when I didn't have any others. They kind of took me under their wing and loved our family and have been a blessing to us and to many. 2,700 years ago, a man who had killed a bear and a lion, then killed a giant, when he was an old man and had buried his loved ones, many, many of his friends, he wrote a psalm. You all know it. But it covers the scope of life in the now and life in the tomorrow. He wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There's a lot of comfort for now, and of course David was a man after God's own heart. That means that he knew the Lord. And I've always admired people who walk in faith. As far as I know, Jan was a very young person when Christ came into her heart. I look back on my life and wish I'd have had a life like that, but it was anything but nice. But one night, unexpectedly, in a revival meeting that I attended to make fun of the evangelist, God got a hold of me, and I've been saved ever since, and I'll be saved forever. And I'm confident that one day, when I cross the great divide, when I take my last step, and then my next breath will be in heaven, I believe Jan will be somewhere near the front of the crowd say, "Well, Larry, it's good to see you." There'll be a bunch of them surprised to see me, I promise you that. But Jesus Christ made the difference. I didn't know how to read a hymnal, knew nothing about the Bible. I just knew that the girl that I was dating at that point, who was to become my wife's grandmother, had recently been saved. And I thought, well, she'll get over that pretty quick. She never did get over it, and I haven't either. The Lord came into my heart and into the heart of the girl I was going to marry a few years later. God is good. And I love the phrase that you emphasized, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I think that Rose Lawn has really fixed her up lovely for a time like this. But she was a lovely, lovely person. And I talked to Jerry briefly and said, I believe your mother could kind of like some, a little fun. I did, Jerry, I've known you for, you're one of the first people I met when I came out here 50 years ago. And I didn't know that Jan really loved cats. And you do too. I knew that I'd find something wrong with you. But as the story goes, Jerry, when he was young, was kind of fussing with his mom because she was telling him what to do. Men don't like women telling them what to do. But once you've been married for 50 years, you're used to it. But Jerry, she had the cats there, and Jerry'd been into something, and she had kind of scolded him. And he said to her, Mom, you love them cats more than you love me. And Jan, just as soft as you could be, as quick as you can, that's not true, Jerry. I love you all the same. She had a quick mind, and I don't know that that happened, but it probably did, and it should have if it didn't. But I loved her. Well, she's kind of the person that you do love and care about. You're going to meet very few people in life that you care very much about, and she is certainly one of them. In John chapter 14, the night before he was crucified, Jesus gave some comfort for his disciples. And when you think about that, there was a wide variety of people at that meeting. It's called the Last Supper. And Peter was there, who had swore he would die for him, but that night he denied him. Judas Iscariot was there. He was the one who had sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And I like the Lord's Supper, but I want you to understand something about salvation, and I know Jan understood it. I was talking with Lanny, the undertaker, here this morning, and we were talking about Jan, and as we looked at the body where she used to live. Isn't that wonderful? That's not her. That's where she used to live. But I thought of Queen Victoria, and then as I thought of that, she was a very famous English queen. But she ruled with a rod of iron. But Jan didn't rule with a rod of iron. She ruled with a heart of love. And she reminds me of Doug Oldham's song, Ever Gentle, Ever Sweet. But I'm sure that she kept folks in line. Is that right, Jerry? Yeah, he's nodding his head. He don't want her to get up out of here and go to work on him. But that's a rare thing. Strong people, many times, are too strong, especially in some situations. But there's a place for gentleness, and she loved the Lord. She got saved the same way everybody gets saved. They get tired of the misery of sin and invite Jesus into their heart. And when Jesus comes into your heart, that old song that they don't sing hardly much anymore, since Jesus came into my heart. I heard it when I was real young, and it was, they sang it in a little mission church beaten in a storefront. Since Jesus came into our town, the devil's been wearing a frown. Many hearts have been changed, many homes rearranged, since Jesus came into our town. And when Jesus Christ came into my heart, and into Joyce's heart, and into our children's heart, they were the happiest days of our life. And we can say the wonderful things we are saying about Jan today because she never left any doubt about where her faith was. She could sing honestly, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Now you see the gentle side of Jesus. He knows everything. He knew everything. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew about Judas Iscariot. He knew people were going to spit on him. He knew he was going to be beaten so bad that according to Isaiah the prophet, he was marred so much he couldn't be recognized as a human. And yet, he knew he was going to say to those who were nailing him to a cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That, my folks, is real. Somebody says, well, you have to live all your life trying to be saved. No, the very moment you cry, God, remember me. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you've done that sincerely. Jesus Christ comes into your heart, and your name is written there on the page, white and fair. What a beauty. I do a lot of service for people I don't know. And I have to kind of dance around that a little bit, trying to comfort people. Don't deny it. But knowing that your loved ones know that you're saved is the greatest gift you can give to them. And I urge any of you that are not, I'm sure most of you are, but think about it and pray for those who are not. Jesus said in John 14, just briefly, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And then Jesus gives the formula for being prepared for the place that's prepared for you down in verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No person comes unto me, unto the Father, but by me." These words of comfort are tremendous for all of us. The family of the Nashes has a good father's house. Many people in our country do not. In the Jewish economy, the father's house was a place of protection. It was a place of provision. It was a place of guidance. It was a place of understanding. It was a place of forgiving. And that's demonstrated in Luke's gospel when the prodigal son, he was just like a lot of folks today. He wanted what belonged to him and he wanted it now. And he immediately wasted it, made a fool of himself and all of that. Ended up living in a hog pen. His father was praying for him, but he never decorated the hog pen for him. When the man got tired of it, he said, "How stupid am I? My father's servants are treated better than I am. I will arise and go to my father and tell him I will be as one of his servants." And he got up out of the hog pen and headed home. When he was a long way off, his father saw him. And he ran to him, not from him. And the son started all the words. And the father said, "Son, welcome home." Jesus has done that to many of us in here. We've been saved, but we kind of get down the wrong line. We get a bad attitude or something. But Jesus is always there and he's always ready and wanting to forgive you and to receive you and to restore you to all the joy that comes from walking with Jesus. And I know firsthand Jan had that kind of faith. And Jerry does too. They want to see people right with God. If you get out of sorts, they're not writing you off. They're praying for you. And Jesus is praying for you. And this makes it so very plain. My Father's house in the prisons. I lead singing in a lot of the prisons around here before COVID. I know more about prisons than I ever wanted to know. But several of the men in my church volunteer with me. And we see these men who have been convicted of anything you can think of. And Christ comes into their heart. In my current issue of my paper, I have the testimony of one of them men who was in there for murder, and God saved him. And there's been such a change in his life that they now trust him to go to the infirmary and pray with other inmates who are on their deathbed. See, God still works miracles, and he'll work miracles, and whosoever will come. I'm saying all that to remind you of things that Jan just kind of took for granted. You all take it for granted with her, but Christ made the difference. I think she would have been a wonderful person if she never heard of Jesus. But I know one thing, everybody is made better when Christ comes into their heart. And again, I deeply appreciate her and Jerry. I remember one time that Jerry had me preach up here, and he had a bunch of preachers that are really nice people. They never were sinners, but they went ahead and accepted Jesus anyhow in their own mind. But they were giving him a fit because I was preaching. And Jerry said, "He's preaching. I hope you like it." I'll never forget that, Jerry. When a friend stands up for you, that's when you have a friend. But I like the phrase here, the Father's house and then mansions. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, and that's a wonderful truth to know. And our bodies, according to the Bible, are called a tabernacle. They're called a tent. And one of the songs has it, "And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall his glory behold." I think that happened to Jan just the other day. She had been longing for it. God is kind in that he provided death. Now, I know that statement shocks a lot of people, but think about it. Do you really think that in your heart of love for Jan, you would have liked to see her live for eternity in the condition she was in? So in that sense, God provided. Where she is now, I love the song. I'm not going to sing it. But we will see all of our friends in Hallelujah Square. A man asked me when I was a young preacher, and I gave him a rather ignorant answer, but it's true. He said, will we know each other in heaven? And I said, do you think we'll be dumber in heaven than we are here? No, we'll have the mind of Christ. We're going to know each other, and we will see one another. And they sing the song, God be with you till we meet again, and they're thinking about next Sunday. But at a time like this, I believe in her heart she was thinking, God be with you, Larry. God be with you, Joyce. God be with you, family, until we meet again. And we will meet again at the feet of Jesus if we know our Lord. And he makes it so plain, so wonderful in his word. I dearly, dearly love it. Now, the Bible has a number of things in it that are hard for me to understand. But in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 18, David and Jonathan are meeting for what they believe will be the last time. Jonathan's father wants to kill David. He wants to kill him dead, real. And they met for a long time. And as they were parting, Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. They were going to have a celebration. David usually went. He couldn't go now. Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. Jan's seat is empty. I'm willing to bet many people in this room went and had a little talk with her on a number of occasions. And she comforted you. She was always praying for somebody. Every time I would see her, she was saying, could you pray for so-and-so or for such-and-such? And she cared about people. Do you know the world is in a mess today because nobody has any time for anybody else? That's the truth. We don't have time for one another. And I try to tell folks in our little church every Sunday, I say it, I want you to look all around here. And I promise you, if you had the vision where you could see inside of people, there's not one person in that building, and there's not one person in this building that doesn't have something that you wish God would take care of. And I know I'm sharing the truth with you when I say that. So one of the things I want to talk about, the empty seat, is somebody needs to stand up and say, I'm going to start having time for people. And one lesson I've learned about counseling is even when you're counseling, people don't hear what you're saying. Learn to hear what they're saying. Let them pour out their soul to you, their heart. Don't be shocked by anything they tell you. Have time for them. Mom and dads a lot don't have time for their kids anymore or their grandkids. Of course, my wife has more time for the grandkids than she has for me. And it grieves me way down deep in my spirit. But I tell people, Jerry, anymore, I'm married, but I'm a married bachelor. My wife loves them grandchildren. Al's got a new grandchild. This is number 19, Al. And the baby was born the other day, weighs 9 pounds. Somebody said, what did his mom say? She screamed, I'm sure of that. But they'll have a good time with it. Take the time to be a person that people feel like, I can talk to him, I can talk to her. And don't condemn them when they tell you things that they've done that are not right. God can take care of those things, and he will. So I think you love Jan because she loved you. I think you loved Jan, she loved Jesus, and she loved you. There are a number of poems that are all around and what have you, and I like the one that comes from a book called God's Trombones. And it was a tremendous poem, long book really. And in it, he has a long poem that's based on a funeral. It's down in the hills of Georgia. It's a little church out in the country. It's a black church. But God doesn't look at color, he looks at hearts. Right? And they're having a funeral. The man's daughter had died. And the preacher's talking. And he gets into the way the black men can really preach. And this was his closing statement about the girl. This is about your wife, your mom, your friend. Weep not, weep not. She is not dead. She's resting in the bosom of Jesus. Heartbroken husband, weep no more. Grief-stricken son, weep no more. Left lonesome daughters, weep no more. She's only just gone home. Weep not, weep not. She is not dead. She's resting in the bosom of Jesus. She's resting in the bosom of Jesus. I think it was Iris Stamphill who wrote the song, "I'll not be a stranger when I get to that city. I'm acquainted with folks over there. Through the years, through the tears, they have gone one by one, but they'll wait at the gate until my race is run. I will not be a stranger when I get to that city. I'm acquainted with folks over there." We talk about the great reunion time over there. We talk about seeing Jesus over there. We talk about casting crowns over there. And I like the thing what John Jasper used to talk about down in Richmond, Virginia. He had been a slave, and God saved him. And he built the biggest Baptist church in Richmond, Virginia. And he used to tell people, he said, "When I get to heaven, I don't want to see them saints. When I get to heaven, I don't want to see that city. When I get to heaven, I don't care about walking on streets of gold. When I get to heaven, I want to see the face of my Jesus." I believe Jesus saw that face the other day. Jan saw that face the other day. And I'm saying these things to leave them in your heart as best as I know how. And the music of Al and Debbie has been a blessing. And the friendship of this church is beyond belief. The people around town really won't admit that it's here, Brother Jerry, but it's here. And there's no place like this place, anywhere near this place, so this must be the place. And you could always, when you had the speaker some weeks ago that did all the singing, and Jan just almost got, she couldn't get out of the seat, but she turned around and said, "Well, it's Larry and Joyce. She's always glad to see us." And we were always glad to see her. I want to see Jesus first, but I'd like to see you and Jan next, Jerry. And so that means you'll have to go before I do, so get with it. That's it. You know, we're getting close to the time, and I don't want to waste your time. We know we have a tight schedule because of the other cemetery there. But I want to—I mean, I can't tell you in the time we have what Jerry and Jan and the Bible Center meant to my wife and I and our family over the years. When I was gone for 5 years, my son, he had all the Awana Awards. He was brilliant. He had graduated from high school with honors, played football and baseball, just about state level, all-star. And a tragedy hit our family, and he began pastoring our church down the street. And he often admits, he would tell you if he were here, he's going to be up in Whitestown when we get there, "I'd have never made it without Jerry Nash." And our church is flourishing. But if Jerry and Jan hadn't had time for him, he'd have never made it. You made a difference in a lot of people's lives, Brother Jerry, there and in Brownsburg for that matter. And that's what I want to get across to you. Take time to make a difference in the people that God puts into your life, because it can make the difference. Some people know, if you've been in churches a long time, you can really get hurt in a church. You really can. But Ira Stamphill wrote a song for that on a day when his heart was breaking. God gave it to him that quick. "We'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over, my Lord and I. I'll ask the questions. He'll tell me why when we talk it over in the by and by. Though my heart shadows lengthens and my heart bleeds, I will not question the way he leads. We'll talk it over in the by and by." And that's a good way to live. God will straighten it all out, and God has worked in a mighty and in a wonderful way in this life. And I could not, and I have not said enough about Jan. Al, would you and Debbie come and lead that song I asked you to? And you all can stand, because we're going to sing it out. Someday there's coming a day that we've been longing for since we first heard about it. Al Ray, God bless you.
Hymn number 239.
If you're able, stand with me again as we sing 239, Jesus is Coming Again. Mm.
Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be, Jesus is coming again. On that third verse, standing before Him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowns at His feet we will cast, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be, Jesus is coming again.
Thank you, Al and Debbie. God bless you. Margaret Windermere, who was the poet laureate of the United Kingdom back in the 1920s, wrote a poem about her mother. I used to have a painting based on this. It was a painting of a woman with a light gray dress on, a bright white apron. She was standing by a picket fence and kind of looking down the street, and the gate was halfway open. And this is what Margaret wrote about her mother. And I think it fits Jan. She always leaned to watch for us, anxious if we were late, in winter by the window, in summer by the gate. And though we mocked her tenderly, who had such foolish care, the long way home would seem more safe because she waited there. Her thoughts were all so full of us, she never could forget. And so I think that where she is, she must be watching yet, waiting till we come home to her, anxious if we are late, watching from heaven's window, leaning on heaven's gate. God bless every one of you. And Kevin, if you, the morticians are ready, and we'll prepare to go to the Whitestown Cemetery, and we'll have an abbreviated service there. So the undertakers are coming at this time. Lord, meet the needs of these people. Touch them as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, preacher. I meant every word I said, Jerry.